Get started. Welcome
Morning.
to the Positively Remarkable Forum. I'm Sue Sponner, and I have the honor of being your host once a month when I take off my BNI Executive Director hat and CRO, which actually never comes off, does it? We have some great people here today, and I'm very, very excited about today's guest. So I'll be grinning through the whole thing. And we have some new people here and some old friends. I invite now, we're going to go to the Posse Global Vision Statement. And I'm going to be honest with you, we're kind of worried about our tech problems here. So we have Keith who's going to read it, but we also have a pinch hitter, Norm Dominguez, in the background. Keith Dyer, would you please take it away?
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, great. Posse Global's vision statement: to establish a global positivity movement that is touching people around the world. Our efforts are transforming people's lives by shifting their minds into a positive, dominant mindset. Help them make positivity a permanent habit through the adoption of two-word messaging. Putting distraction aside by moving forward with focused attention on joy, happiness, love, passion, and peace. Thus, we are making a positively remarkable difference in the world. We are united as one.
Thank you so much. And before we move on to this next slide, so we're just going to hang for just a second with that on the screen. We actually have the Posse Global co-founders here today. And for those of you who have never experienced it outside of this forum, it was introduced to us with so much more than just our weekly meeting. Our weekly meeting is the action we take towards a positive life. But if I could ask one of you two gentlemen to briefly, and you can fight over which one, to briefly tell us what was the impetus in founding Posse Global and what year was it?
Pete, you want to touch on that, or I'll be happy to.
Norm, you go ahead. I'll
Well,
chime in from our
it really
side.
started. It started with a passion in 2012, with discussions that Keith and I were having around one word, attitude. And that evolved. And Keith is in South Africa. I'm here in the U.S. And so we met and we hit it off. A couple of old guys that liked each other. So we turned around and we started having calls. And really, those are the days of Skype. So around 2015, we said maybe we can take that a step further. And then so we shifted from just the word got it in, attitude to two words, positive attitude. Because you know what? You can have a different kind of attitude also. And then when we actually launched our first book, The Magic of Positivity, in 2017, and we said, hey, this is the flow. So it just has continued to evolve. We are now in our, what would I say, our 12th year of working in the direction of making positivity, or who you'll hear about that word a second ago, or the word world of positive attitude, a global habit.
Thank you so much. And now that we've had this slide on the screen for a little bit, I think it's time. Elle, would you please join in and help us with this?
Yeah, the Posse Thumbs gesture is our universal signature prompt to create awareness of positivity movement. Thank you.
So, as is our habit, when we have this moment, we talk about positude. We actually have a thumbs up symbol for our posse, as Keith has called it. And that's our thumbs up. So if you would just get that morning, that Monday positude with me right now, and give us our thumbs up. There
Posse,
you
posse.
go. Let's get in that moment. And when Dave puts his thumbs down, he can move to the next slide. All right. Mike Fern. Why positivity?
It's right here in front of us. Why positivity? And thank you for asking me, Cecil. When we hear, see, or feel positive, it puts our attitude in a better place. Our spirits are lifted and we accomplish more. It puts us in a healthy mindset. And I could probably throw in a few extra words with that.
I'd love that.
Why positivity? Because positivity brings you into true awareness. Another one is why positivity? Because it gives you a new mindset. And another one we can be, and I'll stop with this last one, why positivity? Because it allows yourself to make things happen. Thank you.
All right, so I'm a questioner, and I love that we have this moment of what is faith, because it means so many different things to so many people. And without that actual commitment, that knowledge that without faith, right, you this unwavering belief, you can't do what Mike just said, and that's make things happen. But I found this quote that I'd wanted to share with you from Mitch Albom. And it's faith is about doing. You are how you act, not just how you believe. How important is that to our positive life? Thank you for that. We have another slide here for us today. Norm, it's you.
Thanks, Heath. You know, the law of positivity is a sequence of activities. But there, when Keith and I started talking about this positive global movement, we wanted to launch it with our own law. I mean, you all have heard of various laws that have been developed over the decades, or if you're a historian, over the centuries. So the law of positivity is when we have and practice positive or positive attitude, you will become more excellent in whatever you do. Be positive and you will be happy. And a lot of times I'll turn around and reverse that a little bit and then be happy and you will be positive. So really positive and happy are a hand in glove gesture that comes about. And it's my partner in this project, Keith Dyer, that actually created the word positive. And we, in the third edition of our book, The Magic of Positivity, we use the word positive solely when we put it in the book of the third edition. So the law of positivity is evolving, and we're very excited to continue our quest of making positivity a global habit.
Sis, could I butt in for just a quick word there? Just
this
seeing
is
that
what
we've
happens.
Got a lot of.
This is what
We've
happens when you have the head honchos here. You go right ahead, Keith.
Thank you so much. I see we've got a lot of new people today, and that's absolutely wonderful. So I just want to explain why we're bringing in the word positive. And that is that we have found over the years a positive attitude. Everybody that I've ever met knows that it's better to have a positive attitude than to be negative. And so when one speaks about a positive attitude, it goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't stick. And so that's why we've brought in a new word that can stick there and give people the opportunity just to stop and think about their own, how consistent, how conscious is their particular attitude. Thanks, sis.
Thank you. And I'm ready to have an amazing day here with you and talk about our pillars of strength. Our pillars of strength are show that you care, accept responsibility, keep your word, enjoy a little craziness, always think remarkable, treat with respect, and our newest one, never give up. And to that end, we have our guest here today. Ta-da, there we go. Alyssa has I'm going to say my friend has been my friend now since probably 2018. We were talking about this when we met at a director's training. So it was kind of interesting to have to ask her, so what is your official title? So Alyssa Gross is not just a BNI director, but she's also an attorney, a chairman of a board, and today our positivity advocate. She's going to be talking about Always Think Remarkable, one of our pillars, but she's doing it through the guidelines of Make Positivity a Habit. And I asked her to do this today because Alyssa deeply or just kind of you've heard of her or you have no idea, but in watching her through everything that she does, and I've had no BNI contact with her since that first training, it's been mostly through social media and conversations that way. There's no one I know who exudes positivity on a daily basis or a moment-to-moment basis more than Alyssa. And so thank you so much for taking this on today, being a part of today. And I'm going to start with a question and then let you go.
Okay.
And it is, you don't live alone in a silo. You have a lot of activities going on. There's your finger in a couple different pies. And you actually have, like many of us, a home life, right?
I do.
I don't see you go, bad word. This happened today and I'm so bummed. You might say bad word, this happened today, but here's what we did. How do you keep that going?
I think I actually didn't put this on my list. I kind of made a list of things I wanted to talk about today, but given your question, I'll start with this one. I think having just a couple of people to vent to is very useful. So I am an attorney. We have three assistants in our office, and all three of my assistants are great for this. So I might have a particularly challenging conversation with a client, and I will go to one of my assistants and just sort of vent and unleash and get it out of my system and then move on. I try to compartmentalize, I think, because if you've got something going on at home, you don't want to bring that to work, and vice versa. My husband is also very good for this as well. He has an insight that I think a lot of men don't have, which is that he can actually come out and ask, do you want solutions or do you just want somebody to listen? So I read years and years ago, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And one of the things that book talked about was that men tend to be fixers. It's like, if I tell you about a problem, you're going to fix it for me. You're going to offer a solution. I'm actually the one in the relationship who does that. He does not. So he's a really good listening ear for me. And sometimes I'll just say to him, you and I have known each other and been together long enough that I'm about to say a whole string of very petty things. And I need you to just kind of receive them and then discard them and not think ill of me because of them. But I think having just a couple of people in your life that you can just kind of curse word to, and then sort of move on. That kind of brings me into one of the other things I was going to talk about today, which is not being toxically positive. So I think we all know people who have like this toxic positivity. It's like, everything is great, and today is the greatest day of my life. Sometimes things suck. And that's okay. And that's probably not what you came here expecting to hear, because we're talking about making positivity a habit. But I think part of making positivity a habit in your life is acknowledging that sometimes things are difficult and learning how to process and address those things that are difficult without it becoming like your whole persona. So I think everybody knows someone who it's like, no matter when you talk to them, you say, how is it going? The answer is bad. Right? They've got a negative response. Everything's terrible. Their life is always filled with drama. Do those people really have a worse life than the rest of us who have a more positive mindset? No. In a lot of cases, they have a better life than people with a positive mindset. But I think it's like they allow that to just become kind of their whole identity instead of just sort of addressing when something is bad that's happening and then sort of moving on from it. So I'm definitely not about toxic positivity. I actually have an allocation for myself of number of days per year that I can be in a bad mood. It's 4, if anyone was wondering. So every year I start my counter all over again. It's like sick days at work or something. I have decided that 4 seems reasonable. And so I decide every year that I'm going to allow myself for the whole day to be in a bad mood for 4 days. And once those 4 days are gone, that's it. It's just like sick time at work. And I think what that has done, it sounds a little goofy, but I did that years ago. And I think what that has done for me is helped me to decide, almost like you do with sick days, like, is this really bad enough that I'm willing to burn a bad mood day for it? Most of the time, the answer is no. So it's like, if you wake up in the morning, you got, say you got 5 sick days per year, you wake up and it's like, I'm not really feeling it today. I would rather stay home. But then you sort of do that mental math in your head, like, where are we in the year? How many days do I have left? Is this sickness so bad that I'm willing to call in sick and burn a sick day? And sometimes it's like, no, I'll just kind of muscle through. I do the same thing, but with bad mood days. I very rarely use all four. So I might have a moment. I was just telling somebody a couple of weeks ago that I do occasionally scream in the car on my way home with music very loud, but it's like, I just get it out of my system and then carry on. But I'm not willing to burn an entire bad mood day over something that really I can address in just a couple of minutes of very, very loud singing in the car. I feel bad for people who work from home because they can't sing in the car on the way home or scream in the car on the way home if that's what they have to do. I briefly worked from home during COVID for about 6 months. And I always thought I would hate working from home, and I was correct. And a big part of the reason why was because I liked using my commute. Oh, you just scream in your homes. That works too. But I like having the commute to and from work to just sort of reset. And I was just telling somebody the other day that every once in a while I have days where it's like, I turn on Pink really, really loud in the car on the way home and just sort of scream my way home. And then I get home and things are okay. But I think the bad mood allocation has been really important. I mean, people laugh when I tell them about that, but I started it probably 10 years ago now. And I found it's really, really helpful for my attitude. It's like, if something happens and I'm frustrated and I'm really annoyed about it, I'll think like, okay, do I want to burn a day over this? Or is this something I can just kind of process through? You know, I'll vent to Dan, my husband, later on and kind of deal with it that way. But this is a good day, still in a good mood today. So I like having that allocation sort of in my back pocket for bad mood days. Like I said, I have four and I very rarely use them. I do definitely vent on occasion, though. I don't walk around with a big happy smile on my face all the time. I definitely get frustrated, definitely vent to people. But I typically do not decide that that's worth kind of burning the whole day. Some of you have maybe heard this before, but there's this thing that I've read over and over, and I haven't really been able to figure out who it's actually attributed to. But imagine you had $86,400 in an account and someone stole $10 from you. Would you be upset and throw the remaining $86,390 away in hopes of getting back at the person who took your $10? Or would you just move on and live your life? You would move on and live, right? We have 86,400 seconds each day. So don't let somebody's negative 10 seconds ruin your remaining 86,390. And that perspective, I think, comes in really handy. So I sometimes have something that's bad enough that I decide I am going to burn my $86,000 for it. I'm going to embrace it and be in a bad mood the whole day. But very rarely does that happen. I think a lot of times if you put it in perspective in the grand scheme of my overall day, you know, this one interaction that I had or this one conversation or this one frustration that I have, even if there's something major going on in your life that's negative, is that worth allowing to just give up the whole day? Or is that something we can compartmentalize and deal with and address and process and then move on? So I think that's a really important perspective. I have noticed that if you surround yourself with people that kind of think this way, it helps you. I tell my kids all the time, you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So I read that years and years ago. That actually prompted a job change for me to take a look at who were those five people in my life, just sort of as a function of where I was spending my time and who I was working with. And I realized that there were people in that circle of five that I really didn't want to look more like. And so that's what prompted a job change for me about 7 or 8 years ago. So I tell my kids all the time, though, that tracks when you're a kid, it tracks when you're an adult, it tracks when you're working professionally, whether you're retired, you're just starting your career, no matter where you are in your life, you become an average of the five people you spend the most time with. And to the extent that you can kind of control those five people or control who you give the most access to you, and who's kind of in that inner circle, I think that has a really big impact on your attitude. So if your five people that you're surrounding yourself with have a positivity mindset and make positivity a habit, you are going to start doing that. If you're surrounding yourself with people who have negativity as a mindset and they're making negativity a habit, that's going to rub off on you as well. So I think choosing who you give immediate access to is really important. You know, it's not just, you know, who are we kind of doing business with? Who do we have some sort of acquaintance relationship with? It's not necessarily those people, but it's who am I investing the most time in? Who's, you know, whose relationships am I really spending the most time on? And what is their mindset and what is their kind of outlook on life? That has been something that has made a huge difference for me in terms of making positivity a habit. You know, it's just like if you decide you want to lose weight, you know, there's a reason people go and join a gym. It's not because they can't work out at home. You go and join a gym because if you go to the gym, you're surrounded by other people who have a similar goal. So just that nature of going to a place where you're surrounded by other people that are trying to accomplish the same or similar things, that helps to change your mindset. There's a reason that we talk a lot in business about accountability partners and coming up with somebody who can hold you accountable for achieving your goals. The only thing that that person is really doing is moving into that inner circle to help those habits that you want to be building rub off on you. And I think positivity is the same as if we're trying to make any other kind of major life change. You have somebody who's willing to hold you accountable for that mindset and for that attitude. And so I think thinking about, you know, sort of who's in your close inner circle is really important. And somebody who can remind you that you still have $86,390 in the bank, you know, so you can call or text or have a quick conversation or whatever, and then they can kind of redirect you and you can get on with your day. But you have to make sure that you're venting or you're processing those things with people who know that positivity as a habit is really important to you, who are going to redirect you. I see this in relationships a lot. I think if you know, anybody who's married knows that sometimes your spouse drives you crazy. And if you go to that friend who's like also miserable in their relationship and they're just going to heap on the negativity, that's not usually going to be productive. But if you have somebody that you can go and talk to who's going to, you know, kind of hear and receive your feelings, but then redirect you in a positive way, it's going to make a huge difference. Next thing I wanted to talk about, this is a big one for me. I read somewhere sometime last year, and this really resonated with me. You will be too much for some people. Let them go and find less. I am definitely too much for a lot of people. Like, just I'm a lot. There's a lot of people from my BNI region on here, and I thank you guys so much for coming on. I really liked that. I think the older I get, the less I care about what other people think about me. I keep telling, I have like friends and people I know who are in their 20s, and they're all bemoaning that they're, you know, moving steadily towards 30. And I'm like, dude, being in your 30s and then probably in your 40s and beyond is way better than being in your 20s. Because in your 20s, you still care what other people think about you. And you are still willing to make yourself smaller to fit what other people want. And I think the older you get, the less you're concerned with that. So I am not willing to be less for people. I have dinosaur earrings on today. My 10-year-old son got his ears pierced back in October. He's got a fashion sense all his own, and he really wanted dinosaur earrings, and I like them, so I wear them. And I told somebody recently that if someone really doesn't want to work with an attorney who wears dinosaur earrings, I wasn't the best fit for them anyway, and I'd be happy to find them somebody who dresses more professionally for work. This might be the nicest I'm going to look for work all week. I have a regular plain colored shirt on. I did wear a hoodie to work today, because again, that's who I am. I'm wearing sneakers and jeans right now. I don't even own a regular pair of pants. My mom is on here today. She's probably like hitting herself in the face right now because it just told everybody that. But I wear jeans to work every day. I wear sneakers to work every day. And the older I get and the further into my career I get, I realize that for me, a part of having a positive mindset and making positivity a habit is just owning and accepting who I am. That doesn't mean that I'm not constantly striving to grow as a person. I absolutely am. So I have a personal development plan that I do every year. So every year in January, I put together a reading plan. So what am I going to read this year? What are some areas of my life that I really want to grow and improve? And how do I want to grow and improve in those areas? So like, what kind of mom am I and what do I need to improve there? What kind of wife am I? How do I need to improve there? So I put together that plan every year and I'm constantly thinking about that. But at the core of who I am, I'm not willing to change that for anybody anymore. And that's something that if I could give advice to like 20-year-old Alyssa, that would be it. Don't make yourself smaller and don't change to meet other people's expectations. Let them go and find less. You're too much for them. Let them go find less somewhere else. That is a very, very liberating mindset, I think, to adopt. I know that has had a huge impact on me, especially just over the last couple of years. I really just read that probably a year or so ago. And I think that I've really embraced it. Thinking about getting my nose pierced, actually, mom, cover your ears. because I just really want my nose pierced. I'm thinking about doing it for my 40th birthday.
Wait, is mom here?
My mom is on, yes. So
wait.
Yeah, so she's, I'm going to hear, I'm probably going to start getting text messages any minute that I should not get my nose pierced. And it's, I'm just waiting. I'm checking my phone, waiting for it. But yeah, I think just being who you are and understanding that you are not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And that's really okay. There's this thing that kind of makes the rounds on social media periodically that says, you know, stop trying to make everyone like you. You don't even like everybody. And that's reality. Again, I don't know if that's what you came here expecting to hear today, but not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. And I think part of having a positive mindset and making positivity a habit is accepting who you are, being happy with who you are, you know, adopting a growth mindset, but recognizing that making yourself into something you're not to please other people is ultimately not going to make you happy. My next one, a lot of my fellow BNI people know about this one, is tell your friends that you love them. Tell them a lot, make it weird. So my BNI people know this. So the people in my BNI chapter are regularly getting random "I love you" text messages. I have a whole big handful of friends that will send me random, just letting you know I love you and I'm thinking about you today messages. I always think about, this is kind of morbid maybe, I always think about what would I say about somebody at their funeral. So if I have a really good friend and they died and I went to their funeral, what would I say? And if I just loved them so much is one of those things, they should know that now. It doesn't really do them any good to know that later. So I will send usually between 6 and 10 I love you messages every morning, just to whoever. So I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, so I train with a great group of people who I absolutely adore. So they get I love yous. My friends get I love yous. People in my BNI chapter get I love yous. If you do business with me long enough, you're probably going to start getting them. I have a little meme that says, tell your friends you love them, tell them a lot, make it weird. So I usually send that to people kind of as a preliminary, just so you know, this is like a lifelong mindset and habit for me. So I'm not kind of weirding them out. So I grease the wheels a little bit with that meme, but then they go into the rotation. And so there's a handful of people on here who have gotten those random I love you messages for me in the morning. And that's usually what I do, like on my way to work or when I first get to work in the morning, is I will send a handful of those out. Because you get them back, first of all, but second of all, even if you don't, I've found that for whatever reason, the people I pick seemingly and at random to me, those are the people it seems like that really needed to hear it that day. So just whoever kind of pops into my mind, that's who gets a message that morning. And I've had a lot of people say, like, I really needed that today. I'm having a hard week or something's going on that you didn't even know about, but I just really needed to hear that today and I appreciate it. So I think getting in the habit of telling people how much you care about them is really, really important. You are never going to feel worse after doing that. It's always going to improve your own attitude and your own mindset, and you're always going to feel better as a result. I tell my kids I love them all the time, probably enough that my 12-year-old is like, you know, you get the 12-year-old eye roll. But he still tells me he loves me too. So must be I'm doing something right. But I've never believed in withholding the I love you. So I tell people that all the time. And I think getting people into that habit and getting people into that mindset that if you care about somebody, they should know that. If you respect them, if you admire them, if you're really proud of them, make sure that you tell people that. People don't hear that enough. We celebrate kids all the time. You know, it's like kids get a trophy and kids get a little ceremony and a certificate. And it's like we get to adulthood and we quit doing that for some reason. So a lot of people as adults, they don't have somebody that tells them, I'm really proud of you. You know, you did something really incredible and I'm proud of you. I'm proud to be your friend. I'm proud to know you. I'm really impressed by what you've done. So I think that's been huge for me is the opportunity to be that and to do that for other people. So when I got my first belt advancement in Taekwondo, I started back in 2020 when COVID started. I got a card to like a physical card in my office, in the mail from Cease congratulating me on my belt advancement. And she had taken the picture that I posted on Facebook and made it into a card. And that meant so much. I still have it. This was like three, four years ago now. I still have it though. It meant so much to me that she acknowledged the accomplishment. I was literally going from white belt to yellow belt. Like they basically just hand you the belt at that rank. But she made a point to send me the card and it meant so much to me. And I think we should do more of that. Again, you're never going to go, wow, that was a really big waste of my time telling somebody how much I adore them or how much I appreciate them or how proud I am of them. So that's a really big one for me. I think just telling people that you love them is a really big one. My next one is don't be the dump. So I remember having a conversation with my husband a few years ago when we were talking about somebody who it seemed like they always had the gossip and it was like they were just sort of the receptacle in their particular sphere, in their workplace of like all the negative gossip. And they just always knew what was going on and they were always happy to kind of spread it around. And he was sort of wondering, why is it that everybody goes to this one person to spill all the negative things? And I said, because she has basically made her desk the dump. And she has put it out there to people that she is happy to be the receptacle of all of their garbage. And she has encouraged that and she has facilitated that. And, you know, now she claims like, oh, I always know all these things that I don't want to know. And I always get all the negative information. But it's like she was putting out dump vibes to people. Like there's a reason that you load up your truck. Anybody who lives kind of out in the country and like the town doesn't come take your garbage. You have to load up your truck and you take it to the dump. And the reason that you take it there is because they have put out a sign that says, bring us your trash, right? And I think there are people who do this in their lives. They put out the vibe, they put out the sign that they are happy to be the receptacle of all of your negativity. And then they are confused about why people are constantly complaining to them and bringing them their problems. And it's a mindset thing and it's a vibe thing. They're putting it out there that they are happy to receive all of that. And so if you think about, like, I'm really good with, you know, like analogies and sort of physical pictures. I'm a visual learner and a visual thinker. So if you think about my desk, if I were to just put the vibe out there in my office that like, I am happy to be the recipient of your garbage and everybody just started walking in here and dumping their garbage on my desk, my office would be filled with garbage. And then those are the same people that sit there and think like, oh, I wonder why everyone always brings me their garbage all the time. They bring you that because you're putting out the vibe and you're putting out the message that you're happy to receive it. That doesn't mean that you don't want people to talk to you about their problems. It, you know, just like I said, it doesn't mean I never say curse word and go on a rant about something because I absolutely do. But I think the underlying mindset is, you know, at the end, we're going to process, we're going to problem solve, and then we're going to move on. And I think there are people who put out the message to others around them that they're happy to just sort of receive all the negativity. And it's like, we're not going to be solution focused. We're not going to try and solve problems. We're not going to process and then move on. It's like, just come and let's bask in the negativity. And people like that do not have positivity as a habit. They definitely don't have a positive mindset. So I think the way that you approach problem solving and conversations about negative things or about problems is really important. You know, that we want to be solution focused. It doesn't mean that we're being unempathetic. I absolutely can listen in an empathetic way to somebody who is having a hard time. I have learned, again, as a function of being married for a while, I have learned to say, do you want solutions or do you just want somebody to listen? But there comes a point where we can't just be somebody to listen anymore. It's like if somebody is complaining about an ongoing situation and it's something that they can be proactive and do something about, then as a friend or as a partner or whatever the relationship may be, I think we have an obligation to say, how do we try and problem solve this? Like, what can we do to help improve the situation? Why don't we brainstorm some solutions? Because there comes a point where just complaining about the same thing over and over again is not productive for anybody, including the person who's complaining. So don't be the dump. My last one of my assistants is on today. She's actually the newest one in our office, but I tell people she's like the spirit animal of the office. So she was exactly what this office needed. She's just fantastic. And she has been on the receiving end of my singing and dancing. So that is my last tip for having a positive mindset and making positivity a habit, is that I do a lot of singing and a lot of dancing. It's mortifying for my children, so I try to only do it at home now because they're old enough to be embarrassed by me. Sarah's my assistant. But I make up a song for things all the time. If I'm really annoyed, that helps to kind of bring my annoyance level down a little bit. If I can sing to somebody about how annoyed I am. There is a lot of dancing that goes on here. We have a very quiet, sort of subdued office. And I've asked my boss all the time, like, who even did the singing and dancing before I worked here? And he's like, nobody. So I think, again, back to being a little much for people. That's probably one of the ways and one of the reasons I'm a little too much for people. But I have found that singing and dancing and just having fun with things is a huge, huge help for me in maintaining a positive mindset and making positivity a habit. My kids, the first word that they knew how to spell was bedtime, because I made up a song where all I did was spell bedtime to a tune. So before they even necessarily knew how to spell, they knew how to spell bedtime because they remembered the song. Every time we need to go somewhere, I holler L-E-T-S-G-O, let's go. There's a song for that as well. It's a good parenting trick to like sing the instructions. It seems like it gets their attention a little bit more. But yeah, every time somebody comes across, you know, a funny TikTok video or whatever, we find a meme or somebody gets a song stuck in their head. We were singing something here last week. I don't remember what it was, but to be clear, I can't sing at all. Like it's not good. It's not anything that anybody would want to hear. But it definitely helps lighten my mood. I don't know what it does for people around me, but I think the singing and the dancing, and just sort of generally having fun and taking things a little less seriously, that has really had a huge impact on my attitude overall, especially at work. I'm very happy to be here. I really love what I do. My anniversary here was March 1st, and I don't think I've ever had a day where I woke up and went, oh, I don't want to go into work today. I really, really love working here. But I definitely have days where people are driving me crazy. Usually clients, not my coworkers so much, but usually clients have somebody that's not doing what I told them to do, or they don't follow my advice, and then they're very confused about why things haven't gone well. I think anybody who deals with people on an ongoing basis as part of their business is, you know, has experienced that. But I think having a lighter, brighter attitude about it definitely helps to put things in perspective. I had a real estate transaction years ago where the attorney on the other side was like a very, very old guy. He was probably like my grandfather's age, and he was semi-retired and just kind of did a little bit of legal work on the side. And he called me kiddo the entire transaction, which I found endearing. Like, it wasn't offensive. I found it endearing, but he called me kiddo the whole time. And I called him at one point and I said, like, you know, oh, we got a problem and I don't think we're going to be able to close, and we're supposed to be closing on Friday and I don't think it's going to happen, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. And he goes, kiddo, nobody dies in real estate. And I was like, that's not — Christine Zells is a real estate attorney, so she knows that that's not the attitude most people take. Like, everybody's going to die if we don't close this transaction on time.
Alyssa, I have to apologize for interrupting you. This has been so wonderful that I've completely lost track of the time. We are very, very close to our end time. So I hope you'll forgive me that we are going to move to the next portion of this meeting. Thank you. As the next slide goes, I just want to say that you might have seen the chat going and how excited everybody is by this topic. I wish you could have seen the private messages coming to me. At this portion, we always talk about our two-word messages, the positivity that we got from this. We're going to skip my words, but I want to tell you that each and every one of this applied to what I heard from you today. And the one I want to single out from you is love audaciously. I get such a feeling of that. But let's go, let's see if we can get some people to participate in this portion in our, like, 5 seconds left. And here,
geez, I've got something. Thank you so much. And you created what we call a positivity umbrella. And a positivity umbrella is made up of 4, 5, 6, 7 two-word messages. And while you were speaking, I've got some of them that people wouldn't believe, but I've got some that really identify you. And you just said, be yourself. And that's kind of the advice I hear you have gotten throughout your life. I love dinosaur earrings and nose piercing. I mean, my goodness gracious, that was outstanding. Love members, dump vibes, singing, dancing, let's go. You've got a great, great positivity umbrella that really is an asset to the habit of positivity. So thank you. Great, great presentation.
So we do have some happening in the chat. Mike Hashi, stay fascinating. Mike Fern is the Mike's habit today. Happy vibes. A lot of really great appreciation from you. Gail, I would like to have had Alyssa finish. You know, maybe we could talk her into coming back for another session. I don't know. We don't want to put her on the spot too much, right? Hug yourself. That's great. Thank you. Let's go to our next slide. We, like so many things in our life, we definitely want to make room for a positive quote as we have today. And Dave Palmer, I also vote for a return for part two. I also recommend that if you have not met Alyssa and you are part of BNI and you know very much about our one-to-ones, you can definitely book that. But today's reminder is the progress that you've made, no matter how great or small, matters. As we move towards the end of today's meeting, I again want to thank you all for being here. And our final slide, Dave, is about next week's guest, which is Keith Dyer, our co-founder here at Posi Global. And I thank you all for being here and allowing me to finish this with 4 seconds literally to spare. Thank you.